the next talk. I don't know if there's some floor space over here, but there's not much other room. Our second talk in this session is called Towards the Empowerment Model, a Case Study of Blackfoot Documentation and Revitalization. And we have three of the six authors here, Mizuki Miyashita and Jacqueline Van Duren and Scott Schubeck from all from Montana. This is also on behalf of Rebecca Yaris, Annabelle Chassis, and Megan Lunak from Hagan Institute.
Hello. All right, so today we are going to talk about a case study of the empowerment model from working with members of the Blackfoot speakers from the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. So we're going to first talk about what the empowerment model is. Cameron et al. Defined it as research on, for, and with subjects. So if you're familiar with the research on and for, this is just adding another element to that. And Rice added that it is the focus is to do work that is beneficial to all, not only for the community members, but also with them. So there have been a few case studies of empowerment before, although not very many. David Wilkins worked with speakers of the community to create the grammar of Umhartwa Aranta, and I'm sure I didn't say that right, but and in order to do so, he got proposed topics for his dissertation from the community members. He actually asked them for input and then worked with them to solve those problems. We also have Raquel Maria Yamada, who worked with the Arretiri Carinya speech community in Suriname. And she found that previous linguistic work on that language was largely inaccessible to speakers, either because it was published in languages that they did not use, or just because of the academic nature, it was too linguisticky to be accessible to non-linguists. So she worked with them on a project called the Cassava Film, which not only documented the language, but documented an important cultural process of making cassava bread. And through that filmmaking experience, the community members were able to learn how to do that on their own, and they continued to make documentary films about their culture. And Tanya Stebbins also talks about two different language communities that she worked in, and she highlighted the difficulties of balancing the community's needs with the academic needs, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with, and also the notions of identity that you deal with being a field worker and being an academic back home. Other notable cases, Cameron et al. Did a follow-up to their 1992 work where they talked about actually employing the empowerment model and the difficulties they encountered. And of course, Hinton and Hale has a lot of resources there that deal with the empowerment model. So for our own project, our understanding of the empowerment model, Rice points out that defining exactly what the empowerment model is difficult. There is not a one-size-fits-all model, as different situations call for different types of interactions. But the important thing that's seen throughout all of these case studies is that the collaborative methodological framework is best equipped to meet community needs. So for our own understanding of the empowerment model, it is an ongoing relationship-building process that is used in linguistic research in general, focuses on meeting the needs of community members, and is best accomplished through direct collaboration with community members. And so to introduce our specific case is Mizuki Miyashita.
So goal of our presentation today is to show an example of how a collaborative working environment builds a relationship between linguists and Blackfoot members, and how this working environment benefits all collaboration members regarding meeting community members' needs and also providing experience to graduate students. Let me briefly talk about introduce project members. I'm Mizuki Miyashita, a linguistics faculty at University of Montana. Jacqueline Van Buren. She's currently at the University of New Mexico, PhD student, but she studied with us as an MA linguistics till last year. Scott Schubach, currently working on master's thesis on Blackfoot demonstrative. And there are three members who couldn't come here. Rebecca Yaris, she is also a former student of linguistics in MA program. Annabelle Chatzis, she's a native speaker and language instructor of the Blackfoot class at the University of Montana. Megan Lunak, she's a teacher at the Cottswood School, which is established by the Pecan Institute on the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. And also, let me briefly talk about Blackfoot language as a background. Blackfoot is an Algonquian language spoken in southern Alberta and Montana. Estimated number of speaker population is about 3,200 in Alberta, according to a recent Canadian census. And average speaker age is 50 and older, but in Montana it's about 50, according to Derek, who is the director of the Pecan Institute, and the age is about 80 and older. Okay, so there are three collaborating groups here. One is the Cottswood School on the Blackfeet Reservation, language class of the Blackfoot at the University of Montana, and linguist, faculty, and graduate students, and we're calling ourselves Blackfoot Language Group. So briefly, let me talk about each group. First, Cottswood School, which is a K-8 Blackfoot immersion class founded under Pecan Institute. There are two classes currently, younger class and older class. There are about 24 students total. And one of the teachers, Megan Luna, she has ideas to enhance her classroom, which is to adapt new digital and accessible materials, and also to include more verb-oriented lessons, because it tends to be a lot more noun-oriented in her classes. And the next group is a language class taught at the University of Montana, which is a language learning course started to be offered from since 2009. There are heritage language learners and also traditional students. The ratio of the two groups varies between depending on a year, but heritage learners include young parents who have kids and they want their children to learn their heritage language. And Ever Chatz is the co-author and also the instructor of the class, has her classroom enhancement ideas, which are to include more interactive learning methods, because at the college level class, it tends to be more passive lecture-oriented classes, and to adapt additional structure and detail of lesson plans. Okay. And the third group is linguists, the University of Montana. I started to make this ad hoc group, but since 2007, I want to make a group that that creates materials for Blackfoot linguistics research and language teaching at the same time. So that was the beginning of the empowerment model. And the first one we did was to make online audio vocabulary list in collaboration with the Pecan Institute. And second one we did was to make a picture book with collaboration with the Blackfoot teacher, Annabelle Chatzis. And then our current project is the animated movie making, which is to with both groups, Blackfoot language teacher at the University of Montana and also Cottswood School teacher. It is very important, I think, to have teachers as members, because they are the one who knows what's beneficial the most in classroom. Okay, and Jacqueline is going to talk about our project.
Okay, so the collaboration that we're mainly going to focus on is this movie collaboration. It's creating an animated movie, all of us together. So it had several steps to it, and I'll go through these briefly and then in depth each. So we created culturally appropriate stories, and then we had to compose the phrases for the stories in Blackfoot. Then we discuss the stories, the phrases, the content with instructors, with the Blackfoot instructors. Then we had to design and edit the animation. After we created the animation, we conducted voice recordings with the students at the Cutswood School. And then we had an animated movie. So to start off with, we had to come up with stories. And this started with me and a fellow member, Rebecca, of the Blackfoot Language Group. We co-wrote a story, and we created this story so that students could learn through the story with repetition of phrases, basically. So we would implement phrases like, what is he doing, hello, my name is, often throughout the story, so that people that were trying to learn the language would repeat these phrases over and over again, and it would be stimulating. Okay, so another aim was to show singular and plural endings and present and past tense form. So we wanted to make this an interesting, fun story for young people, adolescents, adults, but also so that it could be useful to instructors in the classroom. Okay, so creating Blackfoot phrases for this story, after creating a storyline, isn't as easy as it sounds if you're not a native speaker of Blackfoot. But we thought of ways that we could create a story so that several structures could be taught as a sequence. You have a plot and it flows all together, but you also want to make sure that you can use verbal morphology of tense and aspect in sequences from one scene to the next. And so we were very aware of how creating these stories could be used for grammatical lessons. And there were several animal characters, and we wanted to make sure that people could learn person and number with the characters. So Blackfoot has a obviative case, and so we have one character that's talking about another character, two third persons, and this is really important if you're teaching Blackfoot. Okay, so after coming up with the storyline, we consulted with the Blackfoot instructors, and first with Annabelle Chetsis at the University of Montana. And I talked to her about content, what she thought about these stories. And what was important is making sure that we were being culturally sensitive when creating these these stories. For example, originally our main character was going to be an owl. And then we found out, well, owl is a symbol of death in some in this culture, and you have to be careful. And really, you don't even want to go there. So. Another character that we were going to use is bear, and then we found out it's a taboo word in some societies. In some contexts, you don't want to use it, and these are things that we found out through collaboration that we would have just been silly creating a story not knowing these things. Okay, so then there are also things about structure. There are different things about pragmatics and semantics that, of course, you learn. Languages do things differently. Languages structure things differently, and basic discourse sentences can be very different. So, for example, when I wrote the story, I wanted the main character to say, come with me to the audience. Or I wanted him to say, let's go to the audience. And then we found out that's not how they would say it. That's English-centric. They would say, come with me. Pokiyot, my Blackfoot. Pronunciation is awful. You'll have to forgive me, but I'm a morphology geek, so more Blackfoot is very cool for that. So another thing is, at the beginning of stories, Blackfoot stories and oral tradition will say hello, the equivalent of hello, my relatives. Oki miksko goarwa. So I wouldn't know that, obviously, unless we really talked to Blackfoot elders, Blackfoot instructors, and they told us, this is how you do it, and we do it that way. So we also got consultation from Donald France, who wrote a grammar and a dictionary of Blackfoot and has been working very closely with the community for over 40 years. Okay, so then came the fun part. Well, for Rebecca Years, she's the one who did the animation. She worked with Adobe Flash to do this. And there were five animal characters. And the characters themselves, you can see, these were created previously for the picture book. And they were designed by Sarah Schroeder, who's a former linguistics student. I think we'll pass this around maybe during the Q&A.
Or now.
Or now? Okay. Okay, so she created a short animated video taking these characters and placing them onto scenes. And as you'll see, the scenes are very colorful, aesthetically pleasing. They're useful for being able to talk about various different descriptions in Blackfoot. Night and day, scenery, plants and animals, and all sorts of things. So after we created the animation, we had the storyline and the different scenes, we wanted voice recordings to go along with what the characters were saying. So to do this, we collaborated with the Cutswood School, and here you'll see a group of the young students, the immersion students, studying their lines. Megan Lunick was the teacher of the Cutswood School. She selected students for characters who she thought would best fit, and Megan and Rebecca then collaborated in revising the scripts with more colloquial forms. Things children would want to say, would have fun in saying, and might repeat later on. And so the students are the voice actors here. And then Becky overlaid the sound into the movie. These are the pictures of the students and the characters that they played. And just real quick to summarize what the story is, it's an elk walking through the forest and he's seeing four animals. He sees a bird, two beavers, a mouse, and the animals, the bird, the beavers, and the mouse, they don't see the elk, but they tell the audience what they're doing. So the bird is cold and he's flying south, the beavers are building a home, the mouse is swimming across the river. So you get all sorts of different different structures, different things people are talking about, and actual things that in this environment kids might see. Okay, so now for the most exciting part, right? We're gonna play the movie, a portion of it.
Nideinua tisti, eki wa, idamiku sisti, mitsi ni bit, istiyi anuk, nidakem ska puwani, kitakita matsinakua, uuma tisti, eifuta. Deino waka neskina, eki wat, nidamiku gana skina, ni tiksis tikini. Ni tisinipa, ni taksiskiipi, ni takkapa muoksi. Kia uuma kaaniskina uksimaa.
That was a portion of the video, a movie created by students and the voice by Cutswood School students. So we have the movie, what now? Application. So remember what Megan Lunack at the Cutswood School, she wanted to do, to adopt new digital accessible material and say this is one of the examples, and also but she said to include more verb-oriented lessons. So at Cutswood School, Megan and Rebecca met together and discussed how they could use that materials with the movie. So of course they can watch the movie in class. Maybe they can do a description of the scenes that they saw, including some comprehension components. Or maybe they could do a role-playing with the scripts that accompanied with. But this is something that we want to emphasize today is a gesture game. So using the phrase "eki watsex," what is he doing? The ponoka, the elk, is saying every time when he meets the animal. Then they could. A student could act out and see, make other students guess. So this is that actually the scene from the demonstration that they did it in class, and students are acting in the middle. I have a scene from the screen. Then other students, oh, she's dancing, which is a correct answer. Well, but if they don't know sure, they could say, are you dancing in the second person form and the question form? And then the actor could say, yes, I'm dancing. If they don't know any idea, they could say, what are you doing? Different kinds of phrases can be learned. And so, in the same stage, the material adaptation and focusing more on verbs met. And
and in the UM Blackfoot class, Annabelle wanted more interactive learning methods and to adopt additional structured or detailed lesson plans. So together we talked about what she wanted to do in the class, how she thought she could use the book, and she requested that I design a sample lesson plan, something that demonstrates the full potential of how the book could be used. And then we showed the video, and she used the lesson plan, and we focused on the extended content, so things that aren't necessarily explicitly stated in the book, like naming items that are not in the text. So we talked about the trees and the mountains and the sun and the grass and things like that. The book is very colorful, you probably noticed, so there was lots of opportunity to talk about different colors. And then we were able to count objects. Especially where there were multiple like trees, like sometimes there were just a clump in the back, but sometimes there were a few in the front, so we could count those. And so she did get a lot more interactive lessons out of this. She was able to get the class talking and not just kind of sitting there listening. So sort of to sum up, the empowerment model, we said, is a relationship building process for linguistic research that meets the needs of the community members. And including, we found out during the process, guidance during the application process. That was actually where a lot of our interaction came in, was after the product was created and then implementing it in the classrooms. So the Blackfoot language teachers especially benefited from experiencing the firsthand usefulness of the materials, learning practical applications of linguistic knowledge. So when we would work with them and say, oh, this little piece here means this, a lot of speakers of polysynthetic languages are not familiar with what little pieces mean sometimes, and they found that beneficial. And having the basis for implementing the experience in their own lesson planning, so they were able to see the models that we proposed and then continue using those and developing those in their own teaching. The students also benefited, especially the Cutswood students enjoyed being a part of the project for those that were involved. And those that weren't, because we didn't have enough speaking roles to go around, were actually a little jealous and were anxious to be involved in future projects. So it was good to give them some motivation maybe to work on their Blackfoot. It also raised awareness of how they can help revive their own language, that even simple things like this create, well, simple, but simple things like creating a storybook are things that they can do as well. And they were just excited that the project was being done in their language, which made us feel happy. The college language course especially benefited from having new material to work with. There are not a lot of upper level teaching materials or any teaching materials for Blackfoot, and so any new material is exciting. And again, those students who are parents especially had a new resource that they could take home and work with their children.
Okay. And for linguists, this is the empowerment model that we think is that everybody who are involved get benefits. So as a mentor and researcher, this morning you had a talk about this field of linguistics, a language documentation conservation is growing field, but not necessarily it is growing field inside of the classroom, right? So conveying the value of empowerment method to graduate students and community members is very important. And building long-term relationship is a key term. If we focus on just one linguistics research topic, it might create what we might encounter difference between community needs and the linguistic needs. It might be difficult to solve at that moment, but if we make it as a long-term relationship, might be we might find a solution. So as a result, graduate students got to have a practical experience outside of coursework, and also they could enhance their collaboration skills. As a matter of fact, Scott Schubach is working on his master's thesis, Blackfoot Demonstrative Strategies. Annabelle Chatzis is also the language consultant, and they have really strong, good relationship, and he's been coming on the project. And also Rebecca Yaris, who couldn't be here, she is now MA, she's finished her school, and she got encouraged
to keep going on, and she established her own company to help Native American languages revitalization effect activities. And her company name is Native Teaching Aids. This is a really brand new company, but she has this college message to work with any community members who are interested in making something like this. She gave me her business card, so if you're interested, please take some. And her company emphasizes on collaboration as well. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's presented us with a great example of a collaborative project between linguists and community members. I wonder, given that you obviously have an emphasis to teach the language in several different fronts, whether in part of the collaboration you have any people with a background in language, second language teaching, pedagogy?
Gradually, I'm trying to talk to the teachers and the community members what the difference between second language acquisition and first language acquisition. It's really difficult to for them to understand, even though I say it many times. At the same time, Megan Lennox is actually a second language learner of the Blackfoot, so she's not a native speaker, but she is every day struggling with these issues too. So, Annabelle Chatz is actually teaching the language as a second language. Right. So it is difficult for the teachers to learn every part of linguistics that is involved in the teaching. I don't know, I don't think I understand.
Yeah, I suppose my question is based in experience in Australia is often in this context what happens is the students are taught linguistic analytical skills. They're not actually necessarily taught to to use the language, to speak the language.
Right.
And it requires some, well, it benefits from some input from people who understand how second language fluency is
right.
taught.
Yeah.
I
we haven't really
are you using people like that in the, or is there any plans with this?
No, we would like to.
I'm interested to know when you're actually documenting this process of the interaction between language, if you like, maintenance, revival, development, and teaching in schools. So are you creating a document about how this is all proceeding and what you're
doing? We will now.
A general question about the term empowerment and how it's used or not used among the multiple collaborators in this project, particularly the heritage speakers and learners. Because I wanted to ask to what extent you've talked about empowerment and what it entails, if you have. And also, my concern, or my question is based on the concern that sometimes empowerment can mean that the project is empowering to everybody because they've all contributed to it and they all benefit from it. But it can also be taken to mean that somebody has power and they're giving it to the poor people who don't. usually where the latter ends up being members of indigenous communities. So, could you comment on that?
I feel like, I mean, our focus was more the former, the model of working with members, not just creating something for them, but actually involving them in the process as much as possible, actually doing projects that they suggest and that they ask for, rather than just coming up with an idea and going with it. So I mean, I think, I guess we hadn't really thought about the power relations so much, mainly because even the collaborators were sort of informally part of the Blackfoot Language Group throughout its history. They've been involved in multiple projects, so it's more of a, you know, kind of a unified front at this point. But I think the addition on this project was the Cutswood School. They were the new members that we worked with, and having the kids, you know, read the parts that was kind of, I feel like that was the big focus in making this video, was having them get excited about being involved in the project. Yeah.
Was there any discussion of using traditional stories or legends that were already known in the community for this project?
When I work with my graduate students, they of course come up with this idea. And then when
there is a time to work on. It has to come from the community members, is my philosophy. And then right now, there are groups from the reservation that Rebecca Yeris actually started work with. They started to say, we want to use Napi story. This is the one of the traditional stories. Then they can probably get going and make the story that they could probably do better job than we can do.
Yeah, we don't want to step on any toes. So, I mean, it's, you know, Rebecca and I are both outsiders. So we didn't want to, kind of what he was saying is, you know, we're going to show you how to tell a traditional story. And we're going to even write it and translate it from English to Black. But, you know, we wanted this to be sort of a way that was neutral and could give them kind of a example. And then if they would like to do that, then that would be the absolute ideal.
I think one of the background goals from the beginning was to make this something that's adaptable to other speech communities.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to use just traditional Blackfoot stories, so that if, you know, another, you know, the Squamish community wanted to adapt it, they could.
Yeah.
Another option that I was curious about whether you'd considered was having the students write the stories as well, which would sort of avoid some of the tricky situation with traditional stories. But I was also curious, you talked about the demand for digital tools and digital educational tools, and I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about why that's something that the people you worked with were interested in, or whether it was just like, you know, an interest in digital things because it's new.
Having talked to Daryl Kip, the director of the Pagan Institute that established this Catholic school, he said now is the digital time of digital tools, and he really trusts in digital. And also his students are now second language learners. They do work with native speakers, but they're really old, so they cannot really stay in school all day every day. So to have something that is ready, maybe you can hook it up and then use online or DVD, it's really appreciated. And once Megan had it, she was really for it.
Okay, time is up. If people have other questions, I would encourage you to stay after and we'll go to lunch.